Heavy. I'm really glad I'm here tonight. I'm really glad that Dusty asked me to do this. I think it was last month we met at this campout we had at Marion, Hungry Mother State Park. Always an honor when somebody tells me to do something for Narcotics Anonymous. And in this journey, one thing I've learned that I try my best not to say no to anything. That's what I do, and that's what my life is all about today. And I try to live this way to the best of my ability. Dusty, you're here tonight. Dusty just celebrated 18 months, and this one is for Dusty. Love you, Dusty. Today has been sort of a couple of firsts for me. In this journey of recovery, there have been many firsts, many things I got to do for the first time. And I'm still excited about this journey. And I get a lot of strength from the chaplain of Basic Sex, more will be revealed. And one of the firsts is that this morning I was feeling real dirty. And I wanted to take a shower, and my buddy Joel, he's my road buddy these days, and we went to a truck stop and took a shower, and you know, that was that was a first for me. I never went to a truck stop for a shower, and I was ready to pay $5, and they said no, it's on the house, it's free, you know. And another first is the first time I'm sharing at a camp out midnight in front of a fire going on. And in these circumstances, I can feel the presence of a power greater than myself. But I see the flame. It's so calm, it's so peaceful, but I know that there's some energy in that fire that is greater than me. And I'm really grateful that all of you are there in my life tonight, and you all stayed awake past midnight. And well, most addicts do, and but it's really great. It's different and it's special. It's beautiful, and I'm pretty relaxed. And one good thing is that I can't really see faces, and probably I perform best, I share best when I can't see much, you know. That I can just talk, and I can talk for myself. I can share for myself. If you guys have been listening to the readings, that's all there is to it. All the answers you need to get a good life in this program, all the answers are there just in those readings. So if you read those readings enough, if you listen to the readings patiently, that's all there is. That's all the answers. So I probably can't say anything more than that. Probably what I'll do, I'll just try to share a little bit about my experience, strength and hope, and probably touch on how I live this way, what I've gone through in my recovery, how I found in it, and what this whole deal means to me. We were reading how it works, all of you have been talking about we, and I must remember that it is not me. All these steps, we together, we can do it, what I myself cannot do it, you know. So this journey, this recovery is a we thing. We can do it. I can't, we can. And I'm really, really excited about this journey. And this weekend has been sort of a slowdown before a big thing. There's a world convention coming up, and I've been excited about it for last 6-7 months. I've been looking up the internet from September and seeing when I can get book my rooms and reservations and do all that good stuff for the World Convention. And you could book online on 4th of December. And I went early online 4th of December and got my registration, everything taken care of. And today I can do those things. I can make plans 6 months in advance. you know. And well, sometimes I do get obsessive and compulsive, but this is one thing which I needed to do for my recovery. I've been in this country for the past 6 years, and in this past 6 years there has been three world conventions, and at that time I did not have enough resources, money or the time to make world conventions. This convention also I'm like pretty stretched as far as my money is concerned, but this I needed to do, and this is probably as close I'll get to a world convention. I'm fortunate to know some of the people who are part of this world convention, who are in the planning and all that stuff, and it's great. It's like bordering state, and I'm looking forward to it. And I love this theme of this convention. The theme of this convention is freedom to live our dreams, and that is what I'm doing. I'm living my dreams in recovery. Things have happened in my recovery which are beyond my wildest dreams. Really beyond my wildest dreams. When I was a kid, always I had that feeling that I was not good enough. I was not good at most of the things that ordinary people are good at. I was never good at sports. Right from my childhood, I was very thin and malnourished and all the stuff. And so I tried to substitute by reading, by getting good grades in school. And I got good grades in school. I had no excuse for being an addict. I did not come from a broken home. My parents are married for like 45 years. My parents never smoked, drank, or did any drugs any time in their life. They're middle class people, and they did the best they could for me. But I always thought that I wanted something else. I wanted something different. And I didn't even know what it was, you know. Because all this while, even when I was a kid, I wanted to change the way I felt. I did not like the way I felt. And I tried to initially substitute by reading books, and doing things like that, trying to get good grades in school. And there came a time like people did not like me because I could get more grades than the average student. Anyway, then I got introduced to drugs, and then there was a long road of using, and I tried not to glamorize on my addiction, but I did whatever I needed to do to get here. I qualified. There was a lot of drugs in India, there were a lot of cheap drugs, and those drugs were plentiful. And there were certain drugs which were used for religious purposes, and you could just walk in anywhere and get loaded, you know. So that's what we did. And I never heard any addict staying clean. When I was using, there was a guy I used to use with, and he told me a lie. He told me that once you start using drugs, once you start smoking a chilla, once you start using drugs, you keep on using throughout your life. It's something like, you start walking, you walk throughout your life. You learn how to talk, you talk throughout your life. You know, there's something which you learn to do, so you have to do it till you die. And I believed in that lie for many years. I believed that I will die an addict. So you guys in this room, Narcotics Anonymous, you showed me, you told me that this lie is dead. We do recover, you know. And if not anything, one thing which I hope that I'll carry is that you never ever have to use again. None of us have ever have to use again against our will. There's a choice. There's a hope that we never have to put any chemicals in our body again. I'll touch on how I found Narcotics Anonymous. It was the first time I found NA was in 1986. And I generally share about it when I share. And I was going to score my drugs. I was going to my withdrawals, physical withdrawals. I was going to score. And when I was like nearing my connection, I saw somebody was familiar. I not seen him for months together, and somehow I thought maybe he died or like he got lost. I did not worry much about him. And he recognized me. So he asked me, Sabi, what are you up to? I said, I'm like going to score. You know, you want to come or what are you doing? And I vaguely resembled him. And this was one guy, he used to be with us in those like shooting galleries and dens. He used to be loaded all the time. I said, man, like I won't be like him. He's a real drug addict. You know, I won't be like him. And he's real bad. And but this guy looked good, you know. And so first thing that struck me was like he had something which I really wanted, you know. And he had the best drugs. Because why I used drugs? Because I wanted to feel good about myself. And I thought he had that stuff, and I wanted that. So I asked him, what are you using these days? You look good. I thought he was eating right or got the right drugs. He said, no, I don't use drugs anymore. I'm clean and I have not used drugs for whatever period. He said, 5 or 6 months, I haven't used any form of mood altering chemicals. I did not believe. I had never seen an addict clean. I did not know that that sort of species existed. You know, I thought if you're an addict, you have to use. It's as simple as that. So I said, okay. I said, what do you do? He says, I go to a place called Narcotics Anonymous. And check us out. We meet on Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays at 7:30. And okay, I'll do that. But still I was suspicious. I thought, you know, like, there must be something there which I wanted to know. And that is how I got the message of Narcotics Anonymous. Streets of Bombay, India. I truly believe the best form of service that all of us we can do is making a newcomer feel welcome, you know, and carrying the message. That is the best form of service we can do. The therapeutic value of one addict helping another. That is as good as it gets. We all do all forms, many other forms of service. But that is the basic level of service. One addict helping another addict, one to one. And I still enjoy doing that. I love doing that. Going for long road trips with addicts, going for conventions with addicts, sharing with addicts, spending time with addicts. So that time, what he did, first time when I went, it was probably a Wednesday, and somehow I mistook. I thought he said a Wednesday, and I found no meetings there. And I did not worry about it for a few months, a couple of months, I don't remember. But then finally I found a meeting, and I went to my first NA meeting. I still have that meeting in Bombay, India. That is called Foundation Group. And I was fortunate at that time when I found Narcotics Anonymous. That is the first 12-step meeting I ever attended in my life, was a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And I was fortunate the meeting I attended was one of the two meetings that existed in the whole country at that time. I was fortunate to be at the right place for the right reason. And there was some sort of divine intervention that I could find the rooms of it. At that time, it was a struggling fellowship. We had about 24 members, and that's about it. You know, about 24 members, and we used to like hang on together. We used to do stuff together. We used to care about each other. We used to do little stuff. And if one member did not show up for a meeting, we used to call that person, try to get that member to the meeting. And that's how we like stuck on to each other. And the fellowship started growing a little bit. Again, it folded back to a few meetings. Again, it grew a little bit. What was happening at that time? We were still confused about whether alcohol is a drug. So half of the members, they were using alcohol, you know, and half of them were sort of clean. So we were confused, like, what is what? And the reason is that we did not have a basic text. In 1986, Bombay, India, we had two meetings. We did not have a basic training. We had one. And it was in, we had some sort of an NA library. We had a third edition revised basic text. And you could like borrow that book and read it and give it back. And some of the members used to keep it for like weeks and months together. So we did not really know what to do, you know. We did not have any literature. The first piece of literature I saw, that was a meeting list. And we had a cyclostyle, what is the Narcotics Anonymous program? That part of the literature plus meeting, there were two meetings. One in Bandra, the other was in Mahim, the foundation group. There were two meetings, two groups. It was the only literature I saw for many years. Today, one of the things which I do, I enjoy doing, I love collecting meeting lists, different meeting lists. I like the flavor of different meeting lists. Some are facts, some are things. Different readings from the literature on the meeting list. And I enjoy doing that. I remember I went to New York City, and their meeting list is like the white booklet. It is having 64 pages. You know, it's really thick. Then meeting list from Chicago. A buddy of mine, he makes meeting lists in Chicago. And there's a little story behind that. He's a printer by profession. And when he got clean, he started making meeting lists for the region, Chicago land region. And what he started doing, and that nobody knew, and it was okay. Like, depending on his clean date, whenever he used to make like four meeting lists a year, the color of the meeting list changed. The first, I think, he made was blue, then red, then when he had 1 year clean, he had that glow in the dark, that color of meeting list. Then he had a gray meeting list. And then one day, you know, last year he emailed me a copy of the front of the meeting list. It was black. So my friend in Chicago, he had 2 years clean. And what he used to do is to send me all the meeting lists, and because he knows I collect meeting lists. Just the other day, last week, now he's going on 3 years clean. After the black, he came up with that green and yellow cover. And now the latest meeting list is still not out. It will come out in a couple of weeks. It has the cover of the Miracles Happen book, that coffee table book. Just the symbol, the old NA symbol. So that is what he has on the cover of the meeting list. And I believe also, many of the things which I'll share about are my personal opinion. I do not represent NA as a whole. I believe also the most important literature I can give another added to the meeting. And that is why I believe we need to be very careful what we put in our meeting. There's a lot of stuff we can put in our meeting. We can put our steps and traditions. We can put what is the Narcotics Anonymous program. We can put the third step prayer. We can put the serenity prayer. And that is what we can do. Well, I was talking about my first literature I saw was the NA meeting list in India. It was just two meetings. So one of the instances I remember in India, we got like, there was some rock concert or something, and we went like, it was in a beach, and that time we still thought that alcohol is not a drug, because our problem was not alcohol. And we were confused. I remember my first meeting, I wanted to share, and I shared like I'm a heroin addict, and my problem is that I just can't use heroin in control. And I thought you guys could fix me. I thought what I will be able to do, I'll come to NA for a few meetings, and then I'll learn how to use substance. Because I never really wanted to give up drugs. I never thought it was possible for an addict to give up drugs. So I remember the first meeting I shared, I always wanted to share. I always wanted to ask questions, and I had all the answers. So once I got the message of Narcotics Anonymous, once I decided to check it out, I wanted whatever stuff you guys had on my terms, you know. So I So I said, this is my problem. I use from Monday till Friday. Then I try my best to cold turkey at home or use some medication. And then I don't know what happens on Sunday. At the best, I can do it till Monday. And I'm crawling for my next fix, you know. I don't know why. And those guys in the room, some of them were still drinking. They said, keep coming back, it works. Keep coming back. And I kept coming back. I kept coming back for all the wrong reasons. I did not keep coming back for the women, because at that time there were no women in the fellowship. Still in India, there are very few women in the fellowship in India. I don't know what happens to the women addicts out there, but, well, they're not there. Recently, there is a women's group which just celebrated 1 year. I got an email the other day. It's growing in that area too. So they told me to keep coming back, it works. And I was talking about this concert we went to, and like half of them were drinking, and like everybody got loaded. You know, after drinking, they started doing other stuff. And then we had a group conscience. It was, and it was decided, the group conscience that, I guess, okay, one of you must have read the basic text. What does it say? It said, like, it says something about you can't do alcohol, you know, and you can't do marijuana, like all this stuff is drugs, so you can't use it. So some of the old timers did not like it, because they said, well, I'm 3 years clean and 4 years clean, and my problem is not alcohol, otherwise I would have gone to AA, but I don't go there, I come to NA, my problem is drugs, you know. So there's a lot of confusion. But probably that was a very important period of growth for the fellowship in India, when there was a group conscience, and even people who claimed they had some clean time, there was a consensus that alcohol is a drug, and you have to change your thinking. And they changed the thinking. I had this period of struggles and growth. But I played around with fellowship for many years, because I was one of those intelligent addicts, and I wanted to do things in my own. I finally surrendered on January 19, 1992, and I've had no reason to pick up. I would love to say that I did it, but no, I by myself, I could not have done it. We as a fellowship, like, we together, we did it. I had to hang on to you guys, you know. I had to feel that unconditional love, that warmth of this worldwide fellowship. I had to feel the magic in this room of narcotics. For me, I think any amount of clean time is important. If you have 2 days clean, hang on to your 2 days. 2 days will one day become 20 years. I only believe that every addict should respect and value his or her clean time. Because I earned every moment of it. Hopefully you have earned every moment of your love. Then when I had about 6 or 8 months clean, first time India as a region was represented in the World Service Conference was in 1992. Then a cleanest member, we sent him to check out the World Service Conference. And he came to United States, and he came with 2 units. So first thing was that he discovered that people in NA in United States, they hug each other. Because I think, from what I recollect, till that time we were shaking hands, you know, because we were following the other fellowship and we were not hugging each other. So he brought back the message from the World Service Conference that we need to embrace another recovering addict. We need to hug. We need to embrace. More important message you brought, that in order for Narcotics Anonymous to grow, we need to start hospitals and institutions. In November 1992, it's our first HNI meeting, official HNI meeting. So we really got ready for that, we prepared for that. Maybe we practiced for a few weeks, and then we showed up for the HNI meeting at a detox. And our panel leader, we had a panel leader. I was a panel member at the first meeting. Panel leader showed up in tie and suit and everything, you know, because this was a program of attraction, he thought. So so that is, I was fortunate to be there when the first official Chennai meeting started. Even today, though I cannot do HNI here as often, I'll probably share a little bit about it, but HNI is the love of my life. And I had a t-shirt once, it said, I go high on HNI. And if some of you do HNI, you know the feeling of joy once you can carry the message inside, you know, reach out to a still suffering addict behind the walls. It's amazing. Some of my personal experience of HNI is like, sometimes you're at a meeting and you don't know that person, and that person comes and embraces you and says like the message is in an HNI meeting, and for that addict. A few years back, in 2000, I got to go back home for the Bombay Area Convention, and then the program chair, he had 5 years clean, and he told me that he got the message in HNI, and I was there when this country, though in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, we are all the same, but in this country, I'm a foreigner, and I can't risk background check and all this stuff, you know, to go behind the wall. But I've done it once. I've been to a mid-security prison, but I can't do it. Maybe someday I'll go back to the love of my life, HNI. I had about 4 years clean. I decided to, well, not decided, I've been trying. I always wanted to get my, complete my education, because I was thrown out of graduate school in India for using. I was almost done with my PhD and they decided to throw me out. So one of the things which I had to do to make amends to myself is going back to school and complete what I started doing. I just wanted to check out the Worldwide Fellowship. I wanted to, came here in 96 August. And in 96 August I came here and I made my first meeting. I generally share about how I made my first meeting. I started looking for the first meeting. I could not find through the any helpline. I went to the other fellowship helpline, and they did direct me to a any meeting. And first any meeting, I think I reached here on a Wednesday or Tuesday. I don't really remember. The first any meeting was probably on a Friday. It was at Jonesboro, which was a few miles away. I did not have a ride. I did not know any members. I could not make that meeting. So the next meeting was near a school where I go to school. It was at a mental hospital called Woodridge Hospital. And that hospital, like, they said they had any meeting on Tuesdays and Thursdays. At first, like, my feeling was I was scared that I was in a foreign country, and if I go to an NA meeting, I did not know how to react, I did not know whom to trust, I don't know what will happen. And still I was not sure that NA is same everywhere in the world. And I was scared. So I called up this hospital and asked, do you have a meeting, Narcotics Anonymous meeting? They said, yeah. So I said, is anybody welcome? I was scared, I did not know whether, it was a mental hospital, and I was not really sure that I wanted to get into a mental hospital for a meeting, you know. And so it was a little scary. And they said, yeah, come on. They called this meeting Nothing to Fear. That was a beautiful name for the group, Nothing to Fear. And that was my first NA meeting, and that has been my home group ever since. This NA meeting was on a Tuesday. Saturday, when I found all this information, I think on a Friday, I don't remember right now, on a Saturday I went and I checked it out. I saw the meeting room, it was in an air-conditioned cafeteria. I said, man, this is too good to be a meeting place. Because where we were meeting in India, it used to be on rundown classrooms and like water leaking from the ceiling, and it was really bad, you know. And this was like great. So on Tuesday, I was waiting there, and I knew, one thing I knew, that I could spot an addict from a mile off, you know. So whether it's an American addict or addict from any other country, I'll be able to recognize an athlete. And a car came there at the meeting place, and the license plate of the car said NA 1984. When I went closer, that had a Serenity Press sticker. The lady who came out of the car, she looked like an athlete. And you know, and I felt that same warmth, the same love, and the same fellowship that I found in India. And I knew that this magic is for real, that this recovery, this magic works anywhere in the world. The next meeting, I think Tuesday itself was a group conscience. And I said, okay, I'll make this my home group. And that has been my home group all the 6 years I've been in this country. Thursday, they were all getting excited about a convention at Kingsport. They had a local convention there, the only convention they had. I was fortunate to be at that area. They call it Unity in the Mountains. And from what I believe, though it was called Unity in the Mountains, but there was a lot of disunity. People say disunited. That caused a lot of dissatisfaction and disunity in the area. But for me, that was magic, you know. I got to go to my first NA convention in the United States when I was just 1 week or 10 days in this country. My first convention, I rode with somebody, I shared hotel room with somebody else, I came back with somebody. On the way back, I got myself a sleeping bag because I did not have a place to, you know, I did not have a sleep bed to sleep on. So that's how I got here. And I was excited about my recovery, and I was willing to take the risk. And that weekend at the convention, I heard a few speakers, and one speaker shared something that changed my life. But in that convention, this guy, he shared about the no substitute for surrender. All my life I'd been looking for that substitute for surrender. There's no substitute for surrender. Don't look for that right sponsor, you know. We try to get that perfect sponsor, that person who is just right for me. He said that right sponsor does not exist. He said, a sponsor is an addict just like you and me. He said, if your sponsor is a complete fool, you can hardly... You start by looking for somebody, trying to trust somebody, and make that person your sponsor, and go on from there. He shared a lot of great stuff. He said, if you don't like the way you live, change the way you live. Simple things, you know. And readings, when we were reading, like, one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery, somebody said relationship. Some people said drugs. He said, before everything is an attitude. Attitude of indifference and intolerance. Before everything else is an attitude. And everything is an attitude. So on this man's 25th NA birthday, I asked him to be me about commitment to this fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. Taught me to belong to something, you know, and bet my life on something. And today I'm an NA member. For me, being an NA member just does not mean making a couple of meetings a week, just having, it is a way of life. What is the message? We have a beautiful message. What is the message? Our message is, our basic text says our message is hope. Our message is any addict can stop using. It is that as a result of these steps, we have a spiritual awakening. Our message is the awakening of a spirit. The message is that we don't have to do the things that we had to do in our active addiction. The message is that we can change the way we live. The message is that we can be an attractive, responsible member of the society. The message is that we together, as a spiritual fellowship, we have the power to change lives. So that is the message. And that is what I try to do. I'm not saying that I'm always successful. I have my good days, I have my bad days. Some days I carry a good message of hope, but some days I'm just a sick addict. that is why we need each other. We need to hang on to each other. You know, we need to pray. I love this name of this area, Nirvana area. And I got the opportunity of sharing my experience with and hope a few months back, and I said what Nirvana means. And I got my book out here, the thesaurus, and it says what Nirvana can mean. Nirvana means bliss, ecstasy, heaven, paradise, Nibbana. Nirvana is the perfect state of happiness. Nirvana is the perfect high I was looking for all my life. All my life I was looking for that perfect. This journey is amazing. And sometimes I think like people just don't get it. Since I've been around, I've seen so many people die from the disease of addiction. I've seen so many people who have like tons of clean time, stop doing the things that they were supposed to be doing, and I see people relax. And I've seen many people leave this program and go somewhere else. And I feel sad. And I feel sad that I have to see that addict go and relax. And some of the things which I found in common is that stop making meetings, stop doing the things that they were doing when they were one day clean, stop having a program, stop integrating these principles behind the steps in all areas of their lives. Me, I try. Again, I'm not perfect. I try to do some of the things which you guys suggested that I do when I was one day clean. I try to surrender on a daily basis. I try to remember my sponsor's words that there is no substitute for surrender. There is no substitute for surrender. Surrender in the first step. Faith in the second step. Trust in the third step. The third step tells me to make that decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God. I trouble with that word God because I was an atheist before I came to these rooms. And my father is an atheist, though he lived a very spiritual life. But he does not believe in God and it works for him. I did not believe in God, you know. I did not believe in any power greater than myself. So I had a tough time looking for that power greater than me. Today I can sense that presence of that power greater than me in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I can sense that presence of the power greater than me in the fellowship, Narcotics Anonymous. Just think about it. This is such a fantastic program. You know what? I look at it, if someday the World Service Office closed down for whatever reason, you know, but still, you can't close down Narcotics Anonymous. Nobody can say that, okay, now from tomorrow you're no longer NA. That is the power I'm talking about, you know? The power that from one meeting in the world in 1953, there are like 40 or 50,000 meetings anywhere in the world. The magic of a camp out like this, the magic of the World Convention, where this next week in the Georgia Dome, there'll be like 30 to 40,000 addicts in the biggest stadium in the world at the Saturday night meeting, in the World Unity Day. All together for the same purpose, all bound together by the same fatal disease of addiction, but most of us happy, joyous and free, the hope that we are looking for in the room. First step talks about making the decision to turn my will over and my life over to the care of God as I understand God. All this problem, that is the only decision I need to make in my life today. Many days I do a good job in making that decision, the third step decision of turning my will and my life over to the care of God. If I have done that, if I get up in the morning and honestly just sit down and relax and think that just for today, whatever happens, I'm going to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God. Go from there. I have a fantastic only decision I need to make in my life. And rest whatever I am left with, just choice. Some days I make some good choices, and some days I make some stupid choices. Is I get obsessed with certain things which I should not get obsessed with, you know. And today I have the opportunity to look into those things, and that is why I have a 10th step where I can be guided by the by my thoughts which are negative and try to do something about them. Some of the things I've discovered is that I can be compulsive about spending stuff, maybe buying something on eBay, on the internet, you know, things which I don't need. So I was telling my buddy the other day, like, I was at a camp out a couple of weeks back and I saw a fantastic looking hat and I wanted that. It looked so beautiful. And then I said, no, I don't need another hat, especially when I don't wear a hat, right? Doesn't it make sense, any hat? So I did not buy it. So I patted myself on the back that I did not buy that hat. So I went home, I was cleaning my closet and doing something, looking for my NA shirt, and I found the hat which I was planning to buy. I already had that hat. And I did not even know that I bought it, you know? I mean, that is the disease of addiction. That is when I identify myself, I say I'm an addict called savvy. For me, I'm not an alcoholic addict, I'm not a dope pill addict. I used to be like, when I got into this room, I used to like, I had 4 or 5 addictions all to put together. But no, I'm just an addict. Today what I'm recovering from is the disease of addiction. And in a way, I'm thankful that my obsession and compulsion over drugs brought me to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, so that I could look into myself and look into the disease of addiction. And it does not matter how many days or months or years we are clean, still we have to sort of look into that disease of addiction on a daily basis. My opinion, I also do not believe that there's only way of doing the steps and reading the steps. I will tell you to write the steps, all the steps, and read the book. I think every one of us, we need to find our own way of living this way. I have many buddies in India, they don't know how to read and write. You know? I know many, well, in India, they still don't have a basic text. India is a vast country which has like several dozen languages. But we are about to get a basic text. But we still don't have a basic text. We have a few IPs. And many people don't know how to read and write. So how do you tell an addict that, how can you just say that this is the way you do this program, that you have to read the steps, you have to write about it? So all of us, we need to find our own way of living this program. I also believe if you just write the steps, that's not it, that you have done the step walking guide, you have written all the steps and you're done with steps, you know. We have to live this way. My sponsor, late sponsor, taught me that in the 11th step, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. Prayer and meditation. The simplest form of meditation can be really listening at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Not get any more complicated than that. I've tried many different types of meditation. This form of meditation can be the most simplest and probably one of the easiest form of meditation. Just all the things I do for my recovery today, I go for long walks and I put on a speaker tape and go for a walk. You know, that takes care in a way a little bit about getting me some physical exercise. And I keep it real simple. I listen to a speaker tape. A speaker tape lasts like 45 minutes to an hour. So I get my 1 hour of walk, and by the time I'm done with my walk, I'm charged up with recovery. I do it as much as I can. And that is one way I listen to the basic text on tape, or it works how and why. And I'm not done yet with this journey. I'm still green and I'm still growing. I've lots to learn, and I'm still really, really excited about what the chapter says. More will be given. Got my second master's. First master's I got in active addiction, so that does not count. The second master's I got in like 99. And now I'm working for a PhD degree. Hopefully, I'll be done by next year, sometime next year. Sometimes it is so difficult to stay focused on what I'm doing. It's so difficult to stay focused on what I'm doing. What I would love that my whole life was a camp out. My whole life was about recovery. I would love it if this is what I had to do every day of my life, you know. But I just, so that's what I was sharing with my friend, like this part, I love this part. But when it comes to being a productive member of the society, I don't really know whether I enjoy it that much, you know. Some days I do, and some days I do live a good program. And at the end of the day, when I take my 10th step, I realize both my struggles of low self-esteem, being miserable. We have a great relationship going with my current sponsors. Sort of a bonding, we just got connected. We grieved through the death of our last and we hung on to each other. I don't know, we do stuff differently, but I don't think like, we don't really like, well, we talk about stuff, you know. We share about stuff, and we share about what's going on in our life. I call him at least once a week. If I don't call him, he calls. And that is a long distance sponsorship which is working like perfect. It's working just right. And this is one very important relationship in this program, relationship with another company. One of the things which I've learned, which I also learned from my late sponsor, that I just don't tell my sponsors to do anything in a particular way. If somebody asks me about something, I just try to share my experience with them. Oh, what I did in a particular circumstance, you know, how I behave, how I walk through that particular area. If I did walk through that particular area, if I did have some sort of experience to share in that area. And for 45 minutes, that might be your bedtime. No. I don't know if I left anything out, but in closing, I want to read something from the basic text. The way we have all sorts of literature now. Yeah, it works on why we have step walking guide to the basic text. And what I'll read is from the basic text page 223. And this is from a story called I Was Different. It's from the Jack Bean story. It says, today my life is much simpler. I have a job I like. I'm comfortable in my marriage. I have real friends and I'm active in it. This type of life seems to suit me fine. I used to spend my time looking for the magic, those people, places and things, which would make my life ideal. I no longer have time for magic. I'm too busy learning how to live. It's a long, slow process. Sometimes I think I'm going crazy. Sometimes I think, what's the use? Sometimes I back myself into that corner of self-obsession and think there's no way out. Sometimes I think I can't stand life's problems anymore. But then this program provides an answer and the bad times pass. Most of the time, life's pretty good. And sometimes life is great. Greater than I can ever remember. I learned to like myself and found friendship. I came to know myself a little bit and found understanding. I found a little faith and from it freedom. And I found service and learned that this provides the fulfillment I need for happiness. America's family.